Hey all, this is Marcos again. So this past week was the Xorg Developers Conference in Chicago, Illinois, in the United States. This is the yearly conference where the Xorg guys get together and geek out, basically. Anyway, so while I was there, I managed to round up 4 interviews with developers, and I thought that y'all might like to hear them. I enjoy this conference. This is the second one I've been able to go to. The thing I like about it is that these guys are really smart, and they're really fun. They're a cool bunch of guys, and they're really productive. If you check out their mailing lists, Mesa, Xorg Devel, DRI, XCB, these guys are machines. They just crank stuff out. And considering how few of them there actually are, the amount of work that gets done is incredible. So anyway, I wanted to do some interviews to get people an idea of who the Xorg guys are. So anyway, I hope you enjoy these interviews, and yeah.
Guys, this is Marcos again. I'm going to sound retarded starting out, but this is my 3rd podcast for Hacker Public Radio. I'm sitting here with Jamie Sharp at the Xorg Developer Summit.
This one's the X Developers Conference.
Is this the conference?
Yeah, and okay. Then the summit's the European one.
Okay, all right. So we're at the conference for 2011. Today is Wednesday the 14th?
That sounds right.
Is that right? Okay. Got a string of interviews. Jamie was the first one who was willing to sit down with me as I fumble through this. So anyway, this is it. So you want to introduce yourself, give a brief overview, history?
Sure. So I'm Jamie Sharp. I got involved in X in 2001, when I was sitting, we used to have this weekly sushi lunch of various people around the Portland, Oregon area, and Keith Packard and Bart Massey would show up, and Bart's been my advisor in my academic advisor, and actually I met him a year before I started at Portland State.
That's cool.
So he was really a mentor for me for a long time. And so I'd go along with them to these sushi lunches, and one day, Thursday, sitting there at sushi, and Bart and Keith get talking about the sorry state of Xlib. And here I am, this poor undergraduate student, and they turn to me and say, "Hey, Jamie, you should fix this." And I didn't know any better, so I said, "Okay." And off I went. And for extra bonus points, Bart then said, "And you should do it in M4.
So you stab him in the forehead with like a pencil or something.
But again, I didn't know any better, so I said, "Okay." apparently, like that weekend, Bart and Keith were talking on the phone, and Keith's like, "I can't believe you did that to him." And Bart said, "You're right. On Monday, I'll tell him, he doesn't have to do it in M4. And so Bart comes to me on Monday, and I'm like, "But I already did it." So I had a working prototype, over the weekend. I mean, the X protocol is not that complicated. I mean, it's not like I had, all of the core X protocol, let alone any extensions, but I had something that could put up a window, right? It's not that hard. Which was the thing that was really really irritating all along about Xlib, is this: it's solving a problem that is not that hard, and it's doing it a really, really hard way. So that was the history there.
Okay. That's wow, that's pretty good. Yeah, I don't know much about the Xlib protocol stuff, so I guess I need to dig into it a little bit more and find out. So.
That's, of course, you've been working on documentation. That's one of the best documented parts, is all these bits of protocol. So anything you want to know about the protocol
is in there somewhere. That protocol for Xlib is... I forgot how many pages it is. It's quite big, though.
The core protocol for X, yeah, that's 100 and something pages. The Xlib manual, on the other hand...
Is that the one you can buy, like, 15 manuals,
yeah,
or used to be able to?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So maybe that's what I think of when I hear X11, because that's just, yeah, I think that you just run screaming in the other direction.
Yep. All that's right. That's the correct reaction to Xlib.
Oh, okay. We probably shouldn't be saying that, because part of my goal is to bring new developers into Xorg, so we probably shouldn't scare them.
Well, the history of my involvement in X has always been trying to take the code and make it simpler. If you wanted to summarize everything I've done, that's a summary that works for everything.
Have you had good luck doing that?
Mixed luck. XCB has been pretty successful. Every distro, every Linux distro, or at least every major one, and Solaris and OS X. Basically, everybody now is shipping Xlib that's built with XCB.
Okay. Can you, what is XCB?
So XCB is X Protocol C Binding, and that's the thing that sushi lunch led to. Mm. I mean, they said Xlib sucks. We need something that just does the core protocol, or just does the X protocol, and that's it. And that's what I built. And Bart suggested calling it XCB, and that's the name we've gone with.
Okay. So the whole, like, because X protocol itself is asynchronous, or is it synchronous? Because you got like three or four back and forth between the client and server every time you try to do anything, right?
Well, no. So the X protocol is actually really cool from a protocol design standpoint. Mm-hmm. One thing I always find interesting, according to JG, Jim Geddes, the initial announcement for X went out on Usenet in June 1984, beginning of June, which puts it like 3 weeks before I was born. So that's always kind of entertaining. The current version of the X protocol that we're using and the current version of the server and client libraries and a lot of the infrastructure in X dates to September 1987. X11 is 25 years old. This protocol has survived 25 years, and there's a reason it survived that long. It's actually really well designed.
So X1 came out in 84, and X right now we're using
X11.
So in 3 years we had 11 versions.
Right.
And then since then we've had basically none.
Right. Because by the time they got to, you know, this X goes to 11, right? By the time they got to 11, it was actually in really good shape.
Hmm.
I mean, I think the biggest thing that's made the X protocol version 11 survive this long is that it had a good extension mechanism. Hmm. So, yeah, there are lots of things that are busted about the core protocol. All of the drawing APIs, all of the text APIs, a bunch of stuff in the core protocol, basically all the input APIs. You could say most of the core protocol is not useful in today's environment, but it doesn't matter much because the extension mechanism that they built into the core protocol has let us do better without changing the protocol itself.
Okay. I think I saw there's 20 or 30 total extensions? I mean, not all
there've
of
been,
them actually used.
Yeah, there have been a lot that have shown up over time. You could pull out a laptop and XDIPI info and find out, you know, what the list of extensions on a particular server is. There are extensions that have come and gone. Maybe one of the best known among X developers, or the older X developers anyway, is I think it was called Figs, Hex. The Figs extension to X, which was an early attempt to add 3D to X. And obviously OpenGL completely killed it.
Well, did it come out about the same time as OpenGL, or it came out and then OpenGL came out and they said, oh, okay, this
I
is
I think it's
better.
Older. I mean, by the time I got involved in X, PEX was already so defunct that, you know...
Okay.
So I don't really know. You could ask Keith, right?
Okay. Well, maybe I'll be able to sling a little bit of time for him and pick his brain. Oh, that's cool. I didn't know about that one. Yeah.
There have been a whole bunch of things. There was, I don't know if you've heard of Display PostScript, which is, the idea is to use...
That's a DPS extension,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And so that came and went.
I did documentation for that one.
Huh?
I don't think that one would get used, but, you know,
nope,
it's a good exercise. Keep everything updated.
There's the multi-buffer extension. Let alone the double buffer extension.
I remember the DBE double buffer one. There was a multi-buffer.
There was
extension
a multi-buffer extension.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
That got finally purged from the server just last year, I think.
Really?
But nobody was using it.
Okay. Hmm. All right.
But yeah, so this extension mechanism was really great, and I think it's contributed a lot to X surviving this long. But beyond that, other things that are really great about the X protocol design, a well-designed client can run for a long time without getting any responses from the server. A lot of the requests that a client might want to do, you just send them and sort of forget about them. The server will do them. You don't have to to wait for any response to come back.
So you don't really have to worry about a timeout or anything like that?
Not only do you not have to worry about a timeout, but X is designed as a network protocol so that you can use it across high latency links, you know, use it across an ocean if you want to.
And if your connection dies, it comes back, you're okay as well?
Well, no, that's something that that has always needed special client support, and people could do it, but nobody's ever cared enough. So we call that migration and replication. Mm-hmm. And there's only one application I know of that can do X migration and replication, and that's X Emacs.
Okay.
But the idea is generally you might want to have an application open a connection to two different X servers and display basically the same stuff on both of them. That would be replication.
Okay.
And you might want to be able to say, well, I've got this application that's showing up on my screen right now, but I'm moving over to that machine, so I want to move the application with me.
Kind of like a virtual screen, if you would.
Yeah. In fact, there was a Summer of Code project a few years back to do something that's like a GNU screen, but for X.
And
I think he got it to work, but I don't know that anything's happened with
it. Too bad, because that would be really cool. I would really like that ability.
A lot of people agree. I mean, I want to say it's a popular thing to want. A lot of people don't think about it at all, but among the things that most people don't think about, that's one of the most popular. Does that make sense?
All right. It's one of the most popular things that people don't think about, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll explore on that later. All right, let's see what else. I got a whole list of questions here to ask people. So let's see what else. Help?
Right.
You see, because one of my things is I'm trying to pull people in.
Yeah,
and you're one of
absolutely.
The people I pester when it, because XCB is actually very popular among people. Hey, where can I help? And they say, look through the list of things all over, and they say, oh, XCB, that sounds kind of cool. So basically throw them over the fence at you and Josh and the other guys.
And then so, it turns out I'm always swamped, and so I'm not so good at responding. But I think I've said to you in email before, the task of connecting people who want to help with people who need help is a really valuable task all by itself. It's really finding, valuable skill.
Finding, being able to connect them with people who have the time to be able to help them
is harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's this kind of self-defeating thing, right? In that the people who need help are too busy to help the people who might help them.
Yes. Yeah, because when you're bringing people up, I mean, and you take a hit because you got to spin them up, and it takes effort. So, is there anything that people who want to help can do, where they can? I mean, for those listening who are interested in helping out X, XCB, whatever, how can they get involved? Realizing that some of them probably know the way around it. Okay, most people listening probably know the way around the compiler, but may not know probably don't know the intricacies of X or...
Right. Yeah, what you'll find is that the people in the X community are very willing to help you figure out where you need to go hack to accomplish something. But you need to be persistent. I love this... this expression of getting lost productively. That I think is actually the most important skill, is you're going to get lost in the code base. And that's a good thing. Be prepared to spend time just kind of exploring, getting a handle on where things are. And I mean, you're not gonna learn everything about X. There's too much. No person, not even the
chief understands it all, huh?
Not even the most expert person in that conference room back there has any idea what most...
So it's okay not to understand the whole picture.
It's absolutely okay. But spend some time getting both the high-level view and getting an idea of the pieces that are most closely related to what you're trying to work on. And just don't expect to jump in and say, this is the obvious place to do this.
And be able to have a crucial fix in a couple hours. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah. All
right. I know X has a reputation in some areas for being hard to talk to people, I guess, find out who to talk to, and people kind of, developers being very almost snobbish now. But I found that that's actually not the case. Most of the X people on IRC channel and the mailing list, especially here at the conference, are actually kind of cool people. They're they're very cool. They're easy to talk to. They're kind of fun, actually.
Yeah, so. And I think the key thing about that is, and this audience probably knows that already, but reading essays like How to Ask Questions the Smart Way. There's Eric Raymond's essay on the topic, and there's Simon Tatham's similar essay on the topic. And I can look up those URLs.
Okay. The first one, I know him. Simon Tatham, I'm not familiar with.
You've probably played his puzzles, the SGT puzzles.
Okay.
Or you've possibly used PuTTY on Windows.
Yes, I have.
Those are the things that he's famous for.
Okay. All right. I have used PuTTY. Okay.
I can recommend his puzzles as well. They're quite good.
Okay. I'll do that.
Very cool.
So can people help? The most general answer is yes, absolutely. There's tons of work to do. My ongoing pushes have been for throwing away code. Because, you know, it's September 1987 is the era that a lot of this stuff dates to. Last year I submitted a patch that turned out to fix a bug that was in X11 release 1 in September 1987.
Man.
And nobody had noticed it for, what would that be, 22 years? Or, I can't do math, but, you know.
So apparently it wasn't a show-stopping bug.
No, it wasn't a terribly important bug, but I'm still proud of having found it.
Hey, kudos.
Getting the award for oldest bug fixed this year, you know.
That's up.
There are lots of opportunities for that kind of cleanup, and the trouble is, I think the big trouble with attracting developers is this is plumbing. The plumbing metaphor, the Linux Plumbers Conference shirt here from last week. The plumbing metaphor I first heard from my dad, who was a general contractor for a number of years and actually did plumbing, right, among other things. And it's the stuff that you don't notice until it breaks.
Yeah, no one notices when X is running smoothly.
Right.
You just notice it. Why can't I get this to work?
Yeah. Which, you know, if you have a few minutes, hug an X developer today. Right?
Or buy him a beer. And
yeah, that's people might appreciate that more. Send a thank you note to someone who's actually fixed a bug you care about. That'd be great.
That'd be cool. You don't see near enough people hopping on and say thanks for thanks for all the work that you
do.
That's
generally true of all this plumbing stuff. Linux kernel, X, Dbus, you know, anything. What you get is complaints, and that's kind of it.
That's true. No one appreciates exactly how much work really goes into all that.
Yeah.
You just see the problems. So true. So, you guys listening? Yeah, show some appreciation for the X folks. they're pretty cool, and they don't get any credit for what they do. cool. Well, anything else in particular you'd like to talk about before we before I let you get back to the topic that's going on right now, actually?
I think that's it.
Cool.
Thanks for the interview.
Thanks for taking the time. Again, that's Jamie Sharp. And showing some love, guys. Send some beer. Actually, you're not a beer guy, though.
I'm not so much a beer guy. I'll do cider.
Cider? Hey, I like cider. Cider's good. So, cool. Well, all right. I guess we're done here.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.